Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's listen to what our Lord has to say to us, to believers, to His disciples. I titled this message, Carefree Living. Not living carelessly. That's not what he's saying. But carefree, anxious-free living. He's telling us here how we are to live as believers, how we are to pass our time in this world. Wouldn't it be something if we could get up every day and be carefree about the day, knowing that our Lord will provide, that He will take care of us, that He has ordained everything that will come our way? That would be so great if we could do that and not get up and be anxious, anxious about what we have to do, anxious about whether we're going to get it done. And, you know, we have two or three things to do and we get all anxious about it. It's like, oh, you know, like one thing after another. You know, if we could just learn to just take one thing at a time, you may not live till it gets the second one done. So why worry about it? But let us learn how to just be careful. I'm not careless. That's no, our Lord's not teaching us carelessness here, but to be carefree. And we have a right to do that. I don't have the ability to do it because of sin, indwelling sin. We get anxious about many things. Martha, Martha. We're a bunch of Marthas, aren't we? Troubled and you're careful, he says. You're careful and troubled about many things. It's like when we have someone who's going to come and visit. Vicky just, I leave the house. It's just cleaning from top to bottom and in. And I just, I go play golf or something. That's my carefree. Troubled. Troubled about many things that you can't do anything about. And one of the things he's going to teach us here is that all the worry and all the anxiety that we have doesn't change a thing. I mean, you can be anxious, you can run around the house screaming. When you come back in the house, it hasn't changed a thing. It's the same. And our Lord is teaching us here to trust Him. Cast all your care upon Him who cares for you and leave it there. Our problem is we got a rope tied to it and we drag it back. We just drag it back into the house. It's like fishing. You throw it out there and you keep reeling it back in. Cast your cares on Him and don't reel it back in. Just leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. We sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arm, but I think most of the time, 99% of the time, we sing above our experience, don't we? Because we don't leave it there, and we're not leaning most of it. Too many times we're not leaning. That's why we're anxious. That's why we get worrisome. Now, the things that our Lord's given us here is totally contrary to the spirit of the world. It's totally contrary to the old nature you and I were born with. The world says, get all you can and a little more. The world says, do unto others before they do it to you. That's what the world says. That's what they say. Henry said this. He says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's what the world says. That's the spirit of the world. Now listen. Our Lord has saved us from our sins. He saved us. He's taken care of the weightier matters. Will He not take care of the lighter matters? Will He not do that? That's why I said, when I began this study here on the Sermon on the Mount, this is the portion of Scripture I was reading just struck me, we need to go through this again and listen to what our Lord is teaching us as His disciples, as His children. These this is lessons from the Father. And what he's given us here is infinite wisdom. This is infinite wisdom. This is not opinions. That's not his opinion. It's infinite wisdom. And this is how you and I are to walk through this world, because the world watches you, watches me. It sees us. And you and I need to live in a way that's God-honoring, that honors our Father. Now, he says here, in verse 19, he forbids a worldly spirit. That doesn't mean you can't own a nice car, home. That's not worldliness. Worldliness, now listen, worldliness is not in what you own. It's what you are. It's that spirit of get and gather. Got to have more. Not enough. That's the spirit of the world. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and they steal. Don't lay out yourself for yourselves. You see, the world, the spirit of the world is self-centered, isn't it? I've got to make this amount of money. I've got to retire. No, I tell you what you got to do. You got to die. You don't have to retire. Do you realize how many people a year don't retire? They die. They die before they ever reach retirement. I know a man that lived over where my parents lived. The day after he retired, he died. Now, where's your treasure? Don't lay out yourself for yourself. That's the spirit of the world. That's self-centered. These things are enemies to our souls. When we get wrapped up into these things, I want. Listen here, Demas, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He couldn't let it go. Could not let it go. Luke 12:15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Don't judge a man or woman, as successful now by what they own, by what they've accumulated. Well, let's wait and see where they end up. Now, let's see. Now, that's success is where I end up, and that's success in Christ, where I end up. But that's what we judge by. Don't judge a man by the abundance of the things which he possesses. Listen to Luke 8. And that which fell among thorns are they. He's talking about the seed. Remember the sower went forth to sow, and some of them fell among thorns. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth, and they are choked. Listen, they are choked. The care, what they heard is choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. Maturity, it dies on the vine. Why? Because the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life were like weeds growing up in a garden, and it just overtook the garden. That's why our Lord says, beware of that. But here's what you and I do. And he's not saying by saying that you don't have a bank account, you don't have a savings account, you don't have an investment. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, that's not your treasure. That's not your treasure. You know, if you lose it, so what? If you gain it, so what? Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state that the Lord puts me to be content. I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to have a lot, handle it. And I've learned how to be without anything. I've learned how to handle that too. I handled it the same way I handled when I had a lot. You know, it comes and it goes, doesn't it? It comes and it goes. When it comes, don't try to hang on to it. Keep it from going. It comes and it goes. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is what you lay yourself out to. This is what you give yourself to. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt in heaven where God is. And where thieves do not break through and steal. They don't live there. They live here. You know, I remember when I was in business. You know, I could call the bank, and I can call the bank, and this when I was in business, and I'd say, I need $75,000. I need $100,000. And they say, well, just stop by when you get time and sign the papers. They put it in there. Well, the banker that I was dealing with, he was embezzling money, and I called him for $75,000. And he said, oh, okay, it's in there. Well, I get a note where I'd written checks out. I had one guy call me. He said, your check bounced. I said, what? And the banker had taken it and gambled with it and didn't get it back in there in time. You know, when I wrote checks out on it, he didn't get it back in there. He got in a lot of trouble and got put in prison, but he was doing that with a lot of people. Where thieves break through and steal. They can't do that in heaven. They don't live there. They live where I live and where you live. But they don't live here. Moth and rust don't break through and steal. Moth don't eat holes in your treasures there, but they eat them in here. You know, you got a treasured, a jacket or something that you may have had from your grandfather. Well, leave it hanging long enough and there'll be holes in it. Moths will get hold of it. You know, it'll just destroy. But now there's where you lay yourself out to. The things in heaven. Let your desires and effort go after heavenly things. Be heavenly minded, it's saying. Be heavenly minded. It says in Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, he's given us all things to enjoy. Enjoy what you've been given, but he's going to take them away. In time, they're going to go. So don't set your affection. It's one thing to enjoy it, but when it has your heart, it has you. It has you. You know, wisdom would teach us not to put our money in a burning house, wouldn't it? Don't put your life there. Don't put your life there. Now, these spiritual things, no doubt he's speaking of, are spiritual. Seek those things which we have in Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, peace with God. Listen, I want God to save me. And I want to know God has saved me. I don't want to just guess at it. You know, Paul said I think it's John in 1 John, we know, we know, we know. I want to know. I want to know. And we know by seeking those things which are above. Seeking those things which we have in Christ. And the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more assurance we have. The more assurance we have. Assurance, the lack of assurance comes from lack of faith. It's just immaturity. It's immaturity in the faith is what it is. Now, here's the number one reason. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart is where your treasure is. Tell me where your treasure is, and I'll tell you where your heart is. Someone that's given to making money, they got to have money. Well, that's their treasure. That's where their heart is. That's where it is. This is the motive for keeping our desires above this world. We don't let it get a hold of our heart. It's like this world, like a spider web. Boy, it'll just wrap you and then it'll come out and get you. Our hearts will go in the direction of that which we count our treasures. That's the direction our heart will go. If Christ is our treasure, it'll go after him. If he's not, whatever is, that's what our heart will go after. And then he gives us an illustration here in verse 22. This first one in verse 22 compared to verse 23, this first one is a saving knowledge acquired through grace. The second one is knowledge acquired, but no grace. No grace. The light of the body is the eye. Isn't the eye a marvelous thing? I do these things. I'll sit around and I'll look at my hands move. I will. I'll just hold them out in front of me. And they just so effortlessly. God gave us such a marvelous body. And an eye, I'm looking at you, and you—I mean, I see you as you are. I thank God I'm not blind. You know, there are some people who've never seen. Just like when the Lord opened that man's eyes, he saw men. He saw them as trees walking. Can you imagine what he was flooded with? Or the ear, hearing. I saw this. I was watching this on something here not long ago. But that the first time this person had heard, and they had done an operation, they did something to the ear. They'd never heard anything before. And then the mother spoke. And it's just, that child just started crying. First time I heard its mother's voice. How marvelous. And yet we hear it every day, don't we? I do. I have good hearing. Even now, I still have pretty good hearing. And the eye. Now, the light of the body is eye. If your eye is single, if you have 20/20 vision, you're not blind. You have a good eye. And this here, therefore, if your eye is single, your motive, he's talking here, your motive, your purpose, thy whole body shall be full of light. your understanding is right. You've been illuminated. God has given you light. Your understanding's been illuminated, and your motive is pure. You've got a right motive, is what he's saying. And if our eye is good, if we have good sight, guess what? Our walk will be good. I see where I'm going. I can, you know, if you're blind, you can't. You stumble over it. You run into everything. If you're blind, if you've been in, they put you in a room you've never been in. You run into everything. But boy, if you got 20/20 vision, you can just walk, and you don't even think about it, do you? You don't even think about your vision day by day when you're just out here walking around doing this, that, and. It's because your eye is good. You can see. And your walk is good because you can see. You have a good eye. If the eye of the soul is fixed on Jesus Christ, then the walk of that person will be well-pleasing to God. It'll be a godly walk. You can see where you're going. We walk by faith. We believe His promises. We're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and we're not taken up with anxiety. I know some people are given to that. I know that, but our Lord forbids this, to live with anxiety over to His children, to live like that, to live that way. You know, I was watching this some time ago. I like to watch informational. Actually, I watch YouTube a lot. I like to watch informational things. And it's, you know, it's talking about us living in the most richest time of our life. This nation in the richest time of our life. But there's never been a time where people have more anxiety. They have more anxiety. They have more depression. Why? Well, it's for the believer here. I'm not going to go into why this and why that. That's too long. But for the believer here, the Lord, He tells us, don't live like that. Don't live your life in anxiety. Walk with singleness of purpose. Walk for the glory of God. And trust Him as you walk. Trust Him. Trust Him. But he says here, if thine eye be evil, your motive and your purpose. If your eye is evil, and this is knowledge acquired with no grace, where there's no grace. You see, the first one is a saving knowledge of Christ with the grace of God. This one is knowledge acquired, just like somebody could be sitting here. And you've acquired knowledge of the gospel by listening. You have acquired a knowledge of the doctrines of grace, and you say, I believe that. But there's no grace to apply it. There's no grace that applies it. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. What you do understand, you understand in darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness. Oh, how great is that darkness. There is a light that is darkness. And he calls it here evil. Evil. If my eyes bad, my walk will be bad. For I can't see where I'm going. That's so obvious. Isn't that so obvious? Isn't the teaching of our Lord so simple? If your eyes bad, if your understanding of the gospel is bad, your walk's going to be bad. Your walk's going to be bad. You're not going to walk by faith. Not at all. If the understanding in me is darkness, then what a mistake my whole life's going to end up being. If the light in you does not lead you to faith in Christ, to hope in Christ, to rest in Christ, to peace in Christ, oh, what great darkness that is. What great darkness, because it's leading you away. Now he says here in verse 24, he's going to forbid division of aim. No man can serve two masters. You see, if you're the one who has singleness of eye, he has singleness of purpose, and he has a single master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has whose eye is evil, who does not have that, he has division of aim. He's caught between two. He's a fence straddler. He sits on the fence. You know, it's just like he's saying here, and I thought of this illustration, no man can serve two masters no more than a man can chase two rabbits at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't chase two different things at the same time. God is God, and the world are totally 180 degree opposite. So you can't be aiming this way and shoot that way. You know, it's just this division of aim, what he's saying here. You can't have division of aim. And here's why. Here's why. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one. And this means he will line up. He will line up with, we will line up with one or the other, not both. You can't line up with both. It's two different lines. You can't stand in two different lines at the same time. And he will hold to the one and despise the other. He won't be indifferent to the other. He'll despise the other. In division of aim, that other you despise is God. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I did a word study on that. Mammon is what the Greeks and or the Chaldeans and the Syrians, that was their name for the god of money. Mammon was the god of money. He says you can't serve God and the god of money at the same time. Your heart can't be both places. It can't be. No man can give his heart to God and the world at the same time. He can't do it. And our Lord will not settle for half your heart. I'll take half, you take half. No, it's all of me or none of me. That's how it is. And he's saying here, you can't serve. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about what has your heart. What has my heart? That's what he's talking about. Christ has my heart. He has my heart. Because if not, if I'm divided over this, sooner or later, there's going to be a conflict of interest. There will be a conflict of interest. That's why it says you can't serve God and mammon, because you will love the one or hate the other. You'll cling to the one and you'll lose the other. That's the reason. It's so simple. That's so simple. Lord, burn this into my heart. Burn this into my heart. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought. Now, this word here, thought, is the same one where the Lord spoke to Martha in Luke 10:41. And he said, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things." It has the same meaning. Take no anxious, careful, troubled thought for your life. Isn't that what we take careful thought for, is our life? You know, it's my life. Take comfort. Take care. Look after my life. Well, who is your life? Scripture says to the believer, Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, there's my life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Don't think that just means for me to live, then I've got to be in the ministry as a preacher, a pastor. No, for me to live, where I am, where I work, with what I do, for me to live in that realm is Christ. It's Christ. I'm aware of Christ when I'm at work. I'm aware of Christ when I'm at play. It's Christ. I'm constantly aware of my Lord. I'm constantly aware of Him. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you will put on. Isn't that, well, when he puts it that way, I think, great day. Because he says, as we're going down through there, is not life more than this? Isn't life more than a suit? Isn't life more than a pretty dress? Isn't life more than a steak dinner? I mean, I had a steak dinner yesterday. It was good. But life's more than that. Life's more than a steak dinner. And where I'm going to live, the house I'm going to live in, isn't life life? Life, isn't it more than this? You'll find out it is when you die. You'll find out life is more than this when you die. You think, hey, yeah, you believe I spent my whole time worried about my food and my clothing and my drink, and here I am now standing before God. And what did that have anything to do with this right now? Nothing. Nothing. I thought I wrote something down here. Let me see. Put no value on things. Put no more value than what you would value it in eternity. That's what you and I put value on. And what is going to go into eternity with us. That's what we put value on. Therefore, if we are to serve our Lord in His glory, then we cease serving self. See, that's what keeps a lot of people back. They say, oh, that's too much. That's just a little too much. It's like that rich man, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. No. That's not the commandment I wanted. I want to know what commandment has eternal life attached to it, but that's not the one. I honestly believe he wouldn't have had to sell a thing. I don't think he would have. And if he had, I believe he'd have been richer than what he was. I believe he would have been. If he had done that, I believe he would have been. God took everything from Job. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And you know, the Lord doubled everything he had at the end. You know that in Christ we have double more than we'll ever have in this life. It says there in Isaiah, I'll give her double. If that rich man had just been willing to do it, but he wasn't willing, but the Lord revealed it, the covetousness that's in the heart. That's where the world is. The world's in the heart. It's not always out there. It's always in the heart. I know he says here, don't take any thought for these things, Don't lay your life out for these things. What are you going to eat, drink, and wear for your body? What are you going to put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I believe it is. God didn't create us just so we could eat, drink, and live, and then die. We should give much more care to hearing the gospel than anything else. Than anything. We give much more care to hearing the gospel. What we believe and hear is far more important than what we eat and wear. Isn't it? It is. Our bodily wants are not to consume our minds. I tell you what's to consume the believer's mind is the Lord. The Lord. Now he gives us an illustration of his providential care of his creation. He doesn't just tell us these things and then just leave it like that. He gives us an example to look at, to consider. Behold the fowls of the air. Do a little bird watching. I think I put that in the bulletin. Do a little bird watching. They sow not, neither do they reap. And he's not teaching laziness here either. He's teaching here how to live carefree. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. He feeds them every morning, every day. He feeds them. He feedeth. That means continually. Are you not much better than they? Well, not really, but to him we are. We fret. They don't. They don't. Behold, take notice, he says here, of what I'm saying to you, my teaching. The birds of the air, they don't sow or in order to eat tomorrow. Or they don't fret. They don't fret and worry about tomorrow. They live on the provisions of the day, just like our Lord did. Our Lord did that. God who has made us, God who has given us his Son, will take care of us along the way home. And besides, look in verse 27. Now, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This can mean one cubit in height or the measure of one's life. If you could, by taking thought, could add one cubit to your stature, one inch, I would be taller. I promise you, I'd be taller. You wouldn't have to hem my pants no more. I'd make myself just tall enough to where you didn't have to hem my pants. But you can't do it. In fact, I shrunk 2 inches. That's what the doctor told me. I'm like, and I can't get that back. I can't strain and think and get that 2 inches back. I can't get even a quarter inch of it back. Boy, can we not hear what he's saying? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 inch to your height or one day to your life? You can't do it. Which of you, by anxious, worrisome thought, can change your circumstance? You can't do it. God has made us and placed us where we are. He's brought upon us the things that happen to us. He's the only one that can change. He's the only one that can make the change. And then why, and that being so, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now he takes us to the field. He took us to the birds. Now he takes us out there to the field. And he said, now notice how they grow. How does a lily grow? Straight up to heaven. What does it feed on? That which God has given it. And what is the end result? It is beautiful. You can take Solomon in all his glory. Solomon never one time put on any royal garb that was more beautiful than that lily. But you have to have different eyes to see that, because the world can't see the lily because they can't take their eyes off Solomon. They can't take their eyes off his riches. And they're like, "Ooh, I'd like to have that. Boy, I wish I had his money." But you don't see that. You who believe, we who believe, we see the beauty of the lily of the valley, don't we? The bright morning star. We see the beauty of his righteousness. You who don't believe, you don't see nothing in that. That's about as boring as watching paint dry, listening to a sermon on Christ. But not to you who believe. Oh, notice how he says they grow to heaven. They grow in the provisions God's given them. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, dressed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven and burnt up, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Shall he not take care of you? Cast your care upon him. He takes care of you. Someone said this, a little faith saves, but it's not commended. It's never commendable. Therefore, take no thoughts, no anxious, worrisome thought. That doesn't mean you don't plan for something you got to do tomorrow. But you don't anxiously worry about it. You don't lose sleep over it. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Look at me. Do I look like I'm lacking in any of these things? I look at you. You're not lacking in any of these things. Our closets are full. Our closets are full. Our Lord had one robe. He did. He had one robe that he wore. I've got six or seven, at least, suits hanging in my closet. I've probably got 10 pairs of shoes. I knew someone that had 50. I mean, that's a lot of shoes. That's a lot of shoes. How in the world can you get around to wearing 50 pairs of shoes? You don't go that many places. You don't know that many people. You're not invited to that many places. We have been given so much, haven't we? We are fat with riches. It would do us good every now and then to have to ask the Lord to really, really, really give us our daily bread. It would do us good to really know what that means. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here's the problem with anxiety, little faith. Therefore, take no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, does the world seek. This is what the world's after. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He made you. You know, when the boys were growing up at home, I knew what they needed. I wasn't overly concerned what they wanted, because that's an endless list. Make me a list for Christmas. Zip. That thing is a mile long. But I know what you need. Our Father knows what we need spiritually and what's good for us. He knows what to give us and what to take away from us. He knows. So don't take anxious thought over these things, because this is what the world takes anxious thought over. He knows our needs. Let us trust him who saved our souls to take care of our bodies. He'll do it. You see, listen, it's not consistent with faith. It's not consistent with saving faith to say, I trust, Lord, I trust you. Man, what are we going to eat today? What are we going to eat today? Oh, I trust you. What am I going to wear? I'm getting threadbare. Is that consistent? It's not consistent at all. Leave your temporal wants with the Lord and you follow after that one thing needful. Christ and your relationship with Him. But seek ye first. Remember, you go back and the Lord said, accept your righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, here we go again. Here's what you do. Here's what you give your life out to. Seek, lay out your life. Seek ye first and foremost the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all these things will be added to you. But I'm afraid He won't give me that new car I want. Well, you don't need it or He'll give it to you. He'll give us what we need. He'll give us what we need. Seek, you know, you can't seek the kingdom of God without seeking the King. There's no kingdom without a King. And it's seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. That's seeking the kingdom of God. And His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. As for all these things, we won't need to seek them. You know, I'm going to give this example. I've got to close here. I know I'm getting a little long. You know, I was telling Paul and Tom this. I heard Henry say in a message, this little girl sitting beside of her mother and listening to the preacher. And the preacher kept looking at his watch. And I keep looking at that clock back there. Looking at his watch. And she looked up at her mother and she said, "What does it mean when he looks at his watch?" She goes, "Absolutely nothing." So I'm looking at my watch and the clock. It don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Where was I at? But seek His righteousness. Seek the King of glory. And all these things will be added along the way on your journey home. You'll have them. This is a promise. This is a promise. And God fulfills His promise. God help us to do this. I do. I pray this right now. Lord, help us to do this. To seek the kingdom of God first. Put it first. And all these things will be added. Well, the example I was going to give you now came back to my mind. I get sidetracked. But Henry, he did live, and I believe he did seek the kingdom of God. Him and Doris. And they lived on what was provided for them. You know, he said one time, he said, if I had to come up with, $10,000, I could probably come up with it. But he didn't have a bank account. He didn't have a bank account amount to anything. And when he stepped down from the ministry, he even gave up his Social Security because of a situation. He gave everything up. You know, he ended up, someone put up some money and he ended up living in a house worth two or three times worth what he lived in. He didn't want to live there either. He wanted just a tiny house. He wanted just a tiny house. They had to force him. He had to be forced to do this. But God provided. I watched this. I'm giving you this because it's something I watched. I watched a man, a minister of the gospel and his wife, live on what the Lord provided. And then when he stepped down and at the end of his days, he was provided for. Just in an exceptional way. And that was a real example to me, as a believer and as a pastor. The Lord will provide. I promise you, the Lord will provide. He will take care of His own. You seek the kingdom of God first. Listen to this, and I close. In Psalm 84:11, no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. And he sums all of it up by saying this. Here in, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not yours. It's God's. Sufficient unto the day is the trouble thereof. Just take care of the trouble you got in front of you today. You know, let that be, you know, take that to the Lord. And if tomorrow comes, we'll deal with that tomorrow, won't we? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He, God promises, I'll add these things to you if you put that first. All right.
What was the number, 250?